One of the things about leaving my post in August is that I've had a chance to watch many other ministers who were concluding their ministries in their congregation during the last fiscal year. I've seen them take their leave, reflect on it in groups. And there was one minister, not from UU Church and whose congregation will remain nameless, who was greeted upon her last week at her church with a flooded, carpeted sanctuary where someone had placed an outside hose in the sliding glass door truck of the track of the worship hall and left it on overnight. It was not known if the person who did this did it by mistake or was happy or sad that the minister was leaving that week when they gifted her with a new lake in the middle of her worship hall. But with great humor that is needed in ministry, she decided instead that they would name the lake rather than just mourn its existence. But I think I like your goodbye gifts for me much better. We had a wonderful farewell party yesterday at Susie Rizzo's house. Not floods, just a few tears. And I received a stunning wall chalice and stole from you, gifted by your board, and the stole made by Tommy O'Sullivan, whose voice you just heard. Isn't this wonderful? Thank you. In preparing for my first worship service with you, I'll say the date again, on July 21st, 2019, Worship Chairman Rich Jaffke shared with me a comment from a retired UU clergy person that the minister's first sermon in a new congregation can often be felled by trying to show everything the minister knows in one sermon. Rereading that reflection from 4 years ago and 77 sermons later, I think the same could be said for my final sermon with you, my congregation. That it can be felled by trying to show you everything I know, everything I've learned from being with you over the past 4 years in one sermon. So I've restricted myself to a few things that I want to leave with you after I'm gone. In the reading that Tommy shared, Howard Thurman said, "Our dreams must be saddled by the hard facts of our world before we ride them off among the stars." 4 years ago in my first sermon with you, I questioned whether that might be true. If maybe we don't have to try to saddle our dreams with hard facts. Because I said that hard facts are in multitudes, so much so that we might foreclose on dreams like Apelamondo's villagers, instead of just saddling them in order to ride into the stars. Well, it turned out that hard facts were pretty major players in our work together this past 4 years. A global pandemic rewrote the manual for approaching life, let alone worship, after just 7 months of learning the existing manual of your congregation. The pandemic created a need of ministry of doing what needs doing in the service of staying alive, keeping the virtual doors of our congregations open, keeping our people connected. Rick Laud, I'm so glad you are my partner in that transition, and I'm so glad you're here today. Wow, that was huge. There's a lot of doing, practical arts and ministry through technology and holding each other together. As a minister, it was incredibly challenging to hold that dream of placefulness in my ministry while the place was now online and in Zoom rooms and in the International Space Station setting of our one-bedroom Hollywood apartment where Stephanie was making a movie in the same open space and I was trying to make worship happen or pastoral care meetings. And oh, there's no adequate summary of the paradox of ministering in a congregation during those first two pandemic years. It was both a complete disruption of the dream space we'd begun together and an illumination of what matters most, what is at stake for our members, especially our families, in the hellscape of late-stage capitalism and climate disaster. During that period, your willingness to try new technology, reach out to one another, and get creative, while fear and anguish were such strong forces It was so beautiful what you were able to do, the courage. And of course, there were other hard facts that saddled our collective dreaming. We lost members to illness and death. We experienced a school shooting, the emboldening of white nationalism through violence, elections, the courts, conflict among our own leaders, and church budget challenges. Yet here we are. You, we, made it through it all. You will always have the title of the first congregation I've served as lead minister. And while the realities of the world came crashing in so often, and on occasion brought us to dark places of the spirit, I do not give up on dreaming or think it is indulgent or vain. We are not the townspeople at that beginning of that story. I agree with Thurman when he said that the dreams belong to us. They come full-blown out of the real world in which we work and hope and carry on. Our dreams are our thing. I've seen that collectively. You are most often reasonable, always willing to apply your best judgment, and can band to get together and get basically anything up and running. Now, after all we've been through and survived, I wonder again, as I did 4 years ago, what are your dreams? What would U of SCV paint all over the sidewalks, laundry lines, waddling duck bottoms of this valley? After I'm gone, I hope you will take the period of uncertainty before you as one in which you can romp among the stars and dream once more. You've survived and even thrived amid harder things. You'll make it through this too. You will grow. You will learn about each other and yourselves. My suggestion is that you create a vision for your congregation that brings the stars back to you, carrying it with it, the radiance of the far heights, the lofty regions. Don't limit yourself to the logical explanations or the practical solutions. Those may be true, but I want to push you to answer for yourself and for the world at your threshold. How do you see your congregation in those sacred UU values of interdependence, generosity, transformation? Come together not just to do, but to hear one another. For instance, you're pursuing a closer relationship with another congregation. What is the radiance of the stars you seek in that connection? What's the dream? Name your boldness. It's true that there are many practical reasons for this, or this may be a good idea. There's many challenges and little decisions that have to be made along the way. Many ways such a partnership might make sense or be reasonable, but what does it have to say about who you are and who Unitarian Universalism is? How does it reflect your faith? How are curiosity, courage, friendship, expressions of the UU faith you imagine and dream about? I leave you with the guidance I hope that you will lead from that vision and purpose. Perhaps you may also need to update the story of who you are to reflect the beauty experienced here, and especially the beauty that newcomers are seeking. Give those dreams room to grow, and in turn, I believe you will allow your own faith to deepen, and you'll observe the reasons that you stay a member of this congregation to evolve. I can believe this because over the past 2 years, members who have done that with intention have shared with me their stories. After a year and a half of pandemic ministry together, I saw a few leaders had stepped away from the congregation, and a few others considered it, all for their own reasons. But I saw a common thread among their stories. The work of serving the congregation through such challenging times as the pandemic had seemed to almost eliminate the possibility of our own spiritual deepening. The spiritual connections with other members and with themselves had frayed or even faced disrepair as their energy plunged fully into acts of service. Now, I'm saying they, but I'm saying we, really. I too felt I needed a renewal of my bond with our ministry. I also saw that in conflict, which is a normal part of congregational life or life in any community, in conflict, people often struggle to listen to one another. This experience precipitated the birth of a small group ministry program in our third year together. First every other month, and then in the past year, it grew to two groups meeting monthly. Over the course of this program, I've seen a deepening of faith in some of your longest standing members, and room to grow and share afforded to those who have joined in the last few years. Through some strange circumstances, I was able to lead both of those groups for the last 6 months. And after our last session all together just this past week, I found myself asking, how is it possible that two completely separate groups were experiencing the similar effects, composing new dreams, bearing their possibility through the simplicity of listening and responding? I believe that as different cross-sections of the congregation come together in small circles, there is revealed what Parker Palmer calls a hidden wholeness, or what Thurman said, the enlarged hope, the enlarged horizon, the great hope, living the meaning of Unitarian Universalism that is only felt in community, mending the ways that our frantic, materialistic culture cuts us off from ourselves and from life's gifts. On many occasions, I know I've been a broken record. I've encouraged you over and over to participate in this program, but I do so today with a different sense of urgency. For I wish that you will be able to let your spiritual wells overflow, join one another, do vision making that is not just a task for leaders, live into glimpses of it that you see in one another's faces, that you hear in one another's voices. Learn through your listening and evolve. I imagine that through this, you may even find ease in embodying the Unitarian Universalism that you as a congregation champion so well. To give of our listening is such a precious gift. And I thank you for the ways you have allowed me to be heard, and for the times at which you have allowed me to listen. I came to you having a long time of teaching new ministers and supporting seminarians and their path to religious leadership, but you were my first congregation. And I have learned from colleagues who were brand spanking new to congregational ministry that they are not always blessed with such sweet and supportive congregations for their very first ministries. Seeing a nod from, yeah. Often, first-time ministers might be called or hired to serve dysfunctional or dying communities with layer upon layer of deeply ingrained challenges. That has not been my journey here. Being your minister has not come without its challenges because we're all human. But it has blessed me more than you can ever know. And you are all more beloved than I can ever summarize. I wish you well. I believe in you. Farewell, and keep dreaming.
So, we could sing something really sentimental, but we've all said goodbye. So, here in Santa Clarita, we're just going to say happy trip.